For over 10 years, RNIB and the Booker Foundation have worked together to make sure all of the books on the shortlist are available in audio and braille for blind and partially sighted readers. At a glistening ceremony last night, the winner of this year's prize was revealed to be Samantha Harvey. We'll hear from them in a moment, but first there's a clip of the winning title.
Orbit 1 into Orbit 2. You aren't even the farthest flung humans now, says Ground Control. How does that feel? For today, a crew of four is on its way to the moon and has just surpassed the space station's shallow orbiting distance of 250 miles above the planet. The lunar astronauts are catapulted past them in a $5 billion blaze of suited, booted glory. For the first time ever, you've been overtaken, says ground crews. You're yesterday's news, they joke. And Pietro jokes back that better yesterday's news than tomorrow's, if they know what he means. If you're an astronaut, you'd rather not ever be news. And here's the thing, thinks Chie. Her mother's down there, on that Earth. Everything that's left of her mother's down there. Better to be lassoing it like this than watching it disappear in the rearview mirror. Anton just looks out of the space viewing portal to where he knows the constellations of Pegasus and Andromeda to be. Though his vision can't readily sift them out among the millions of stars. He's tired. Doesn't sleep that well up here, mind too constantly jet-lagged and staggered. There's Saturn. There's the aeroplane shape of Aquila. The moon's a stone's throw. One day, he thinks, he'll get there.
So the book is set over one 24-hour period in low Earth orbit. So the book is set on a space station, which is essentially the ISS, although it's never called that in the book. And there are four astronauts, two cosmonauts on the space station. And it follows them over one day orbiting the Earth. So 16 sunsets and 16 sunrises. 16 transits of the Earth, and it's really a day in the life on the space station, and it's very much a book, I mean, first and foremost, I think, a book about the Earth and the perspective that we have on the Earth from the distance of low Earth orbit.
With 16 orbits a day, the human body's kind of designed to be regulated by the sunset and the sunrise, that must really... The concept of time must be really hard to get when you're up on the space station.
Yeah, I imagine so. The books that I've read by astronauts talk about time quite a lot, obviously. And, you know, we're so on Earth, so tethered to our circadian rhythms and the 24-hour clock. In space, it doesn't really hold. I mean, the space stations and the ground crews do their best to try to keep that rhythm of a 24-hour day. And everything is scheduled and they are on essentially Greenwich Mean Time. So they do their best to try to make it feel normal, but it's never going to feel normal, is it, when you're going around the Earth every 90 minutes? And that was one of the things I really wanted to try to encode into the book, into the structure of the book. So that's why I set it over one day so that we have one 24-hour period, but that time period as we know it is exploded, and maybe the structure of the book being told through chapters which are numbered orbits might help to simulate perhaps for the reader a sense of the dislocation of that experience of time, which I imagine and can only imagine the astronauts and cosmonauts up there feel.
Yeah, you said can only imagine. A lot of authors will visit the place with a novel set, but this might be a bit of reach. But what was your research process?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have loved to have gone there and been able to research from there, but I don't think most research grants don't stretch to that. So my research was mainly desk bound. I read a lot of books by astronauts. I read journals and diaries that astronauts have kept. There's a lot on the NASA website and the ESA, the European Space Agency website. You can sort of borrow quite deep into those sites and find quite a lot of archived material, really interesting stuff about daily life on the ISS. And there is so much information out there about the ISS. It's actually very easy to research. It's sort of knowing how to use that research and where to stop and when to let your imagination take hold. And I think that for me, the single biggest and most helpful element of my research was looking at images of the Earth from space. So it's a very visual book. I think I wanted it to feel as much like a painting as it is a novel. And I had on my desktop almost continually for the whole time of writing this book, two and a half years or so, footage of the Earth from space. And I would make endless transits around the Earth, albeit from my desk, and try to describe what I saw. So that was my most direct form of inspiration and research. But then that was obviously augmented with written documents by astronauts and listening to interviews with astronauts and so on.
I've got a couple of monitors here, and one of them is the live feed from the ISS. So they're over Japan right now.
Oh, it's just magical, isn't it? And interestingly, that live feed doesn't work very often. Well, they might have improved it. When I was researching the book, it often wouldn't be working. But when it is working, it's just so it's so magnificent to be able to see what they can see. It's really, the technology behind that and the accessibility of it, I think, is really wonderful.
You kind of alluded to this in the last answer, but would you go up on the ISS?
Well, it depends on the day that I'm asked. Today, yeah, maybe I would.
Or even one of
Yes.
those, like the Jeff Bezos flights where you kind of touch space.
Yeah, I think that would be worth doing. I mean, I am a really, really unadventurous person, so it's easy for me to sit here and I'll say, yeah, why not? I think if it came to it, I'd probably be too cowardly to do it. I mean, it is a safe way of traveling in that, astronauts and cosmonauts are going up and down there all the time. It's almost like a coach excursion to them. But it is, it has many inherent dangers, and it is very rough on the body. So would I? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I kind of take comfort in the fact that I probably never have to make this decision. So I can safely say now, yeah, sure.
Sam Harvey, author of the Booker shortlisted Orbital, the audio version of which is read by Sarah Naudi. A short extract of my interview with the winner of the 2024 Booker Prize. The full interview will be on Friday on Read On. Tune in to RNIB Connect Radio at 1 p.m. or find it as a podcast by searching for RNIB Read On.